Reading now Matthew chapter 5 from verse 43 to verse 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, the title of this evening's sermon, I say this evening, I'm standing in an empty, quite Baptist church meeting room at the time, coming towards when we would have our evening service. Those things said, the title is actually this: Doing a Bit Extra. Doing a Bit Extra. And we continue, don't we, to reflect on the present time that we're in, our circumstances. It is a dynamic picture. And as we look out on the developing scene, well, our thoughts are having to travel quickly to keep up to date. And that's not my place here to try to give you some insight as to progress in the fight against COVID-19 or to offer you any predictions about what might lie ahead. No, rather, we're reflecting on what kind of people that we, if we profess to be Christians, ought to be in the present circumstances. And there will surely be more thoughts to be delivered on this subject. That for myself, it is a matter of reflecting, praying, reading the Bible, observing, listening to other people, and learning more as we go along. And as I learn more, I should be returning, I dare say, to some of the subjects that we have before us tonight, with the benefit, I trust, of further reflection. But it's good that we do think about these things now, that we are preparing our own hearts, that we are in a better position to contribute something positive to our neighbourhoods, why to our wider community, to our families, to our friends. Doing a bit extra. By which I mean, of course, doing a bit extra beyond what non-Christians would do, or the way that they would do the things that they do. Speaking to a friend the other day on the telephone, he agreed with me when I said, it is a time for growing up, a time for us all to grow up. We all of us need to mature in the Christian faith, in our understanding. We might be men. And having looked out on the internet, there's plenty of what I could call crackpot ideas circulating in the Christian blogosphere, and sermons and preachers making all kinds are outlandish declarations. Well, there may be a place to reflect on some of those in due course and ensure that those aren't playing a factor in our own thinking. But we must all be growing up. And one of those things that we might think about is doing a bit extra. And for that, I'm looking at Matthew 5, verse 47. And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? So it is that we might do more than others, for even the tax collectors, as the Bible puts it there, greet their people and speak kindly to their neighbour. Well, my first heading is this: good advice. Good advice. And the advice is circulating and is good advice to hear, but it's a time for acts of kindness. Government is telling us this. Newspapers are telling us this. Why, Christians, we should be telling ourselves this. 1,000 acts of kindness are called for at this time. Small acts, larger acts, all kinds of acts. And I have to say that I am gladdened as a Christian in the present culture that we're in, where we often have reason to be very unhappy at the things that are taking place. But in this I declare myself happy that we are caring for elderly and vulnerable people, that they are at the forefront of our thinking, and that the actions that are being taken, inconveniencing us all, the lockdowns as we're calling them, are really there to try to preserve life, that we're trying to prevent such an overload of the National Health Service that more lives would be lost. And those lives, we would imagine, from what we know of this virus, would often be the elderly. And that government is willing, well, put it in these words, to tank the economy in order to save lives. It's not the time to look at what your pension pot might be worth, but we would say that that's okay. If this is about helping elderly and vulnerable people, this is okay. And we're glad that we're in a society and in a culture that is putting elders first, that is looking out for people with health conditions that leave them very susceptible, or just plain by virtue of their age, leaving them in a place of vulnerability. Not the time to be talking about assisted suicide. Well, there was a report in Scotland I saw reported on, and which has been condemned by many, that really, this idea of helping older people to die. Well, I'm pleased to say that the present policy of governments is doing the complete opposite of that. Atheists talk about people being useless eaters, those that really we should have a eugenic policy to get rid of them, because they're not contributing to society, they are just consuming resources, useless eaters. Well, such views are being roundly condemned, and at the moment they dare not, I think, raise their ugly head. No, it's a much better thing that we are seeing, and we're very glad that government is acting in that way. Nor a time for selfish hoarding. Well, we're looking on at times at some very ugly scenes in supermarkets and supermarket car parks and fighting over, and I'm sure we'll be reflecting back on this in years to come, but fighting over toilet rolls and tins of tomatoes. And this makes us sigh, feel very sad to how low people can stoop. And we're glad in this that supermarkets are looking out for elderly people, having special times when simply elderly people are allowed to do their shopping. And hearing this is gladdening to our hearts. And in all of this, it's not that we're cynically saying, well, they're all doing that because they'll keep their profits or it's good for their brand image. Well, I'm naive enough to believe that actually within this is an act of kindness. You know, supermarkets cooperating together to try to coordinate their help for the vulnerable. Well, this should gladden our hearts. Well, I have to say, here in our own community of Crich, recently set up, almost appearing as from nowhere, but already with a very fine leaflet advertising its work, a voluntary group that is looking to help people who are shut in, self-isolated, having trouble with their shopping, needing help with that, or just being very isolated and appreciating perhaps a phone call. And they set up a helpline in that way and got a team of volunteers ready to assist in these things. And I understand this, that there are about 250 of these groups presently in the United Kingdom as I speak here on the 22nd of March. And Crich, the community where I live, happens to be one of them. We're hearing, and well, you may want to participate in this, but there's going to be a time set aside, I think later this week, to applaud NHS workers. Acts of thoughtfulness, acts of kindness. And I can well imagine when we come perhaps to reflect on these events, we'll find within some wonderful acts of kindness by people of other faiths, and people of no faith, atheists and humanists have been out there doing things which we would applaud. And I would say, yes, they will. And that is actually because of common grace, that we're made in the image of God. And I imagine we will see hosts of acts, thousands of acts, that show us there is common grace. The kindness, the care of the living God, his looking out for the marginalised, his desire to reach out to people that have been rejected by others. How much in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ we saw that happening. And we would see acts of common grace, therefore, reflected in the human behaviour of people over this unprecedented season. So we are hearing good advice, and I commend that good advice. And now my second heading, and getting us very much to where our title is, the Christians should do even more. Well, we read from Scripture that we, as we prepare, and I'm not saying that the Lord's coming is just round the corner, it might be, we might have a while to wait yet. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm just reading from verse 10 through to verse 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? There's a question in there, isn't there? What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and holiness? What kind of persons indeed? And holiness and godliness, that desire to be Christ-like in our conduct, actually should be taking us towards people, not taking us away from people. Here, another verse, this time round where our passage is this evening, this time Matthew chapter 5, and I'm reading verse 20. This is all part of the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? Where our Lord said something that really did shock the people of that day. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, that shocked them. They thought that the Pharisees and what they were doing, their righteousness, in terms of what their behaviour and conduct and their general approach to life and to other people was, guaranteed them a place in heaven. Now they're being told that their righteousness must exceed the Pharisees and exceed the scribes. And we've been told, in fact, that our righteousness, in terms of our acts, in terms of the people that we are, should be beyond what we see in the world at large. Well, I should read, because we're in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. So Matthew 5, verse 3 through to verse 10. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, I draw our attention there to those who should be peacemakers, the people who should be merciful. Well, I think we're seeing out in the world at large there some splendid acts of peacemaking and of showing mercy. But as Christians, we should be exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. There should be that something more about us, just as we read it in Matthew 5, verses 46 and 47. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Because the tax collectors were mightily despised. But they could show acts of sympathy and kindness to the people at large. Well, if we are not beyond where they are, well, shame on us. And that passage finishes, doesn't it, with this challenge. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So Christians should do even more, doing a bit extra. Well, here are some thoughts. We should have no enemies. That's where this passage comes in, doesn't it, here? That you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. And our Lord says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Well, this, if ever, never is a time, is there, to think of people as enemies, and it's to our shame that we ever should think that, but how much the more at this time? No enemies that we should have. None that we look down upon or think ill of. Yes, they're out there in the world there. There are some who are thinking of other people and thinking, well, they stole my toilet rolls from the supermarket. And are filled perhaps with a degree of anger and enmity. Well, we should not entertain such thoughts as that. And we should be beyond the world in being able to squash and quell any feelings of enmity that may rise up in our hearts. We may end up being wronged by people. We may end up with those whose selfishness deprives us of the things we might want, might actually need, who knows? But our hearts towards them should be carefully managed, and we must be sure to love those, perhaps, who are not loving us back. I hear of attacks on Chinese people in some parts of the world. I've even heard of some in this country. I can't say how widespread that they are. Perhaps they're not widespread at all. I'd like to think that. But I'd also like to think that none of us are harbouring an enmity towards particular nations or people. It may well be that the authorities in China have got to do a little bit of an audit on how they dealt with the crisis in Wuhan. But that day is perhaps not now, and it's certainly nothing to do with the ordinary Chinese people, putting it in that way, that we might meet. Or being judgmental of other nations beyond China, who might have been exporters of this virus, whose people might have been at the forefront in a way, and being negligent in that way, and have perhaps wittingly or unwittingly inflicted difficulty upon us. Well, it's not time to be judgmental. We are not going to lapse into some casual racism or nationalism. Or how about this, being a little controversial here? We may not have voted for this present government. It has made, I'm sure, mistakes, may well make some further mistakes in its handling of the crisis. But we should pray for them. Whatever political differences that we may have had, we should pray for them. And not regard them as enemies, and almost wish that they'd get it wrong to prove us right in our distrust of them. Sure, they have made mistakes, and I've read of some of them. And there are those who are commenting on present policy, and suspecting that they may come to regret some of the things that they have done, but maybe not others. But we should pray for them. They have a very, very difficult task, and as Christians, we should be praying much for them. Or a time, maybe, when older people express perhaps some unhelpful prejudices against the young, feel that they're unfeeling, or that they're careless, or that in some way that they don't have the depth of character to cope. Well, we shouldn't entertain those kinds of thoughts. Certainly it is a time for young people everywhere, within our churches, outside our churches, to rise to the challenge, and the challenge it surely is. And putting it the other way, for the young to be unsympathetic towards the elderly and entertain negative thoughts maybe towards them. No, there should be no enmity. It's time to make up old differences, put old scores behind us. It's actually the time, isn't it, for voicing apologies and for maybe writing letters to put things right. We don't know. People that we are perhaps at odds with may not be here much longer. Why we may not be here to be able to say sorry to them. That we should be at the forefront of forgiving. And then that, as Christians, we should be excelling. We should forgive as Christ also has forgiven us. And what a measure of forgiveness we have enjoyed. And what is it then to us to forgive others? We should be doing a bit extra in this, doing even more than the unbelieving world. And in that, we should be expressing something in our conversation and in our prayers that shows that we're taking this very much to heart. Well, the third heading, looking out for people. Looking out for people, that's the advice, isn't it, that we're being given, and good advice it surely is. All kinds of people. People, perhaps, that we don't usually look out for. Yes, in perhaps more trivial, superficial ways, but they're valuable, aren't they? To smile more at people. Smile at nurses if we have to come into contact with the health service. Smile at doctors. Although I ask the question of us as Christians, but weren't we doing that already? Or thanking the delivery drivers, who I suspect will have a very key role to play in keeping things moving in the days that lie ahead. Or thanking the people at the supermarket checkout. Well, they're in the front line, aren't they? There are all these people going past them and having to touch tins of whatever they've been touching as they wave the item over the scanner and leave it then for us to put into our shopping bags. Sounds a bit risky to me, that. Well, then make their day a bit better. Say thank you. Thank you for their efforts and their toil and taking a bit of a risk for us. And I'm appalled to hear that supermarket checkout assistants are catching the ire there and the anger of people who were disappointed not to be able to get their tin of pasta or their whatever it is that they were looking for. No, we should be smiling and being thankful. Small acts of kindness towards people that maybe we hadn't noticed before. But I say this, as Christians, weren't we doing that already? Or forgotten people, invisible people. A little anecdote of my own. I was with a friend, some of you'll know who I'm speaking about. That's on the railway we were, stopped in a cafe. And the assistant in the cafe was very thoughtful, very helpful, brought our panini over to our table rather than us having to go and fetch it, that sort of thing. And at the finish, as our train came in, it was time for us to depart, I said, thank you very much for looking after us. But I was conscious of the people in that cafe looking at me as if I'd come from another planet. These rather sharp-suited people there, busy people in a hurry. Oh, I bother to say thank you like that to this cafe assistant. Well, it's just simple acts of kindness, isn't it? Isn't it looking out to other people and saying thank you? When we as Christians ought to be doing more than and better than others. Think of our Lord Jesus Christ. He went round doing good. That's the testimony of him. We read of him in Acts chapter 10 and in verse 38 when Peter was preaching there to Cornelius. And we read how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, he did go around doing good to people that other people didn't think to do good to. The tax collectors, the prostitutes, the Samaritans, all kinds of people. And Peter himself, as he's preaching this sermon, marvelling at his own change of attitude and heart, preaching here to non-Jews, to Gentiles. And other people who put people first. Paul speaks very warmly, doesn't he, of Timothy in that regard in Philippians chapter 2 and in verses 20-22. Read these things. He says, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Well, this is something it said of him, all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But he cares. He cares for other people. So it is a good time to be looking at ourselves in this. Are we thinking of others, or are we thinking too much of ourselves? It's time to put an axe to selfishness. It's time to put an axe to self-centeredness. Bad habits that we have, always thinking about ourselves, then it's time for them to change. Thoughtlessness, that we just don't look at other people. They're invisible to us. Well, then it's time to think about them, and to remember them, and to change. To think about how we're perceived by other people. Do they think of us as kind, generous? Do they think of us as peacemakers and merciful? Well, it is time to repent, isn't it? The time that we have, the leisure that we have upon our hands, perhaps enforced upon us, we didn't see it quite coming, but it should go a long way. For repentance can go a long way and can change us and embed whole new ways of thinking and behaviour in us. Think about Christ. Think about him. Think about what he means to you, what he means to me. We'll be different people if we do. If we give serious thought to that, we can't help but being people who will do a bit extra. Well, he died for me, died for my sin, came into this world, nothing compelling him, nothing beautiful in me that commanded him to come and die on the cross for my sake, but he did. And what he's given me ever since then, friendship, companionship, help, the difference that he has made time and time again in my own life and experience, I know if you're a Christian of any years of pilgrimage, you'll say exactly the same. And so as we think about him, well, that should bring peace to the soul. If I could use a word which perhaps sounds rather out of place in this, that we can be more relaxed. Relaxed about the future, relaxed about death. That if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, and he means something to us, and that we're cherishing him in our hearts, well, that should show in the kind of people that we are. That there's peace in us, that we're calmer, more relaxed. And from that, we can be, dare I say it, good-natured, good-humoured, that we can take the knocks and take the inconveniences better than the non-Christian can, or at least we should. And that through what the Lord is to us and his help towards us, to be more flexible, to be ready to do things differently, or not to do certain things at all. Not then to moan and complain that our liberty and freedom at the moment is denied us, or things we wanted to do that we can't do. What Christ is to us, that we have eternity and heaven, and we have his companionship and friendship right now in the midst of all that's going on, should make a big, big difference and deal with things and put them in their perspective. And it should actually make us the warmest of people towards others. We are sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, the most generous, the most loving of people, the one who had such kindness that poured forth from his life day by day and took him to the cross. There should be something of his warmth and generosity and mercy and kindness that pours forth from us. Being bossy, being patronizing, not being judgmental, being good listeners to people, being patient with people, and being ready to speak to them about this Christ, the Lord Jesus, who loves us, cares for us, who has given to us the hope of eternity, the resurrection to come. That if we've never, and I put these words in this way, come out as a Christian, if we've never really declared who we are, what we believe, whom we love, well, it's safer now to do it. People are more ready to listen, more ready to talk, more ready to stop and to ponder deeper things. Speak to them. Tell them what's making the difference for you. Tell them where your hope is. Have you got those church tracts with you? Well, I tell you, if you haven't, let me know and we'll get some in the post out to you so you can give one to that delivery man or pop one in the hand of that hard-working NHS worker, whoever it might be. Somebody was saying that they now are ashamed to read their Bible on a train. Well, that's a pity that they're ever ashamed to read it, or not read it rather in the first place there. And so it's a time for us to express who we are and to be able to make a difference in a way that nobody else can, nobody else will, other than Christians, to a very needy generation and at a very needy time. So may God bless each and every one of us. I had in mind to talk about the subject of managing fear, but that we will talk about on another occasion. May God bless you.